listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas. It's a gigantic Monday, the Monday after the Super Bowl. We're so excited. It's a celebration. What a bookie bashing, butt kicking we put on. So much thanks coming from Twitter. We're going to celebrate. Also, though, what did we learn? What's next year's odds? All kind of questions to ask. Joined in studio by the pros who know, Full House, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik. Yeah. Cheer, baby.
Show me the money.
Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. Now, he's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we've got a horrendous bad beat in the Super Bowl, we've got a look ahead to the future in the National Football League. What is the Vegas lead here in Straight Outta Vegas?
This is the easiest one. I think it's the Super Bowl. I think figure out what happened.
And it's the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl champions after a 31-20 win over the San Francisco 49ers last night in Miami. Patrick Mahomes is your MVP.
Yeah, well, we can start there. Does anyone feel like that if Mahomes won it this year, tell me the scenario that a team wins and their quarterback doesn't get the MVP. Meaning Mahomes played fine, but, I mean, and he made some plays that no one else can make, but wouldn't this... Well, Williams, right? The running back?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that it was really viable that he was in the mix?
I don't think he was in the mix. He had the one long run at the end of the game when he just needed to stop after the first down and take a knee.
That metagame mistake is what upset you so.
You know I hate metagame mistakes.
Well, you think you'd make less of them when you go heads up with me.
Excellent point.
Brad, I mean, if you had a 25-1, I think...
I'd be upset. I would have thought Damian Williams should have won it. Because, I mean, until the final 7 minutes of that game, Patrick Mahomes arguably played the worst game of the year for him so far.
What do you think, Jones?
I would have gone with Mahomes. I had no issue with it. He had the rushing touchdown. He had a couple of those touchdowns as well, too, in the air. Up until that point, Damian Williams probably was the best Chief. But up until that point, it looked like...
Up until what point?
Up until about 7 minutes to go in the game.
Oh.
But...
Well, wait a minute. Who could have been the best Chief before that other than him?
No, Damian Williams. That's what I was saying.
Okay, yeah. I think unequivocally.
But
yes.
I think at that point, we all expected that San Francisco was going to win the game with the way that they were playing. Patrick Mahomes is the reason they got back in the game and won, which is why I'm okay with him winning MVP.
I think that's I think it's valid. I think I could have seen either way. I know if I had a 25-1 ticket in my pocket, I'd be lamenting it. But I don't bet those 25-1s. So no worries. Everything's fine. But it does... beg the question, Steve, and for next year, we got to put it in our pocket. This is how you keep winning. You put this stuff in your pocket. We got to put in the pocket. Is the quarterback a proxy for the team? Meaning, if I like Kansas City, I might as well play Mahomes for MVP because it's going to be so rare that the quarterback and maybe there's going to be certain types of teams in the future. And Jimmy G might have been one of those examples. I mean, if San Fran wins, does Jimmy G get the MVP?
Maybe not.
I mean, who does? Jonas?
I think Jimmy Garoppolo gets the MVP. Yeah, if they would have won. Yeah,
If Fezzik had a vote, he'd say yes.
Yeah.
We know that much.
Debo Samuel is another guy you could make somewhat of an argument for, but he didn't score. So I would say probably Garoppolo.
All right. So if even in that case... I think if Jimmy G comes back and has that last drive, he does for sure, right? So, Fez, you had we're going to go through all the props that you won, but you had under Jimmy G yards too, right? So, you didn't win by that much, though.
Won by 20 yards.
Yeah, but let's just say this. When it was first and 10, that last set of downs for San Fran.
Probably a slight underdog.
I think you're
point.
More in a slight underdog to get 20 yards at that point. I think you saying slight's why I've been killing you lately. Brad, what'd you think when you saw the ticket when Fez is in like row 40-some and I'm in first class?
It didn't surprise me.
It was so great.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that was money that you won off of Fezzik.
Exactly. I took his money,
and
bought a first class ticket and taunted him.
And RJ, I was in coach, and the guy next to me talked up to 8,000 feet of altitude, violating FAA regulations.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. We're straight out of Vegas. Brad, you were talking before the show. Hey, San Fran maybe should have won the game. They were right in it. Blah, blah, blah. Make the case.
Yeah, so to me, it came down to two plays. The first one being the 3rd-and-15 play that Kansas City made when a San Francisco cornerback playing zone coverage just turned the wrong way. If he turns right instead of left, I mean, he covers Tyreek Hill. It was a poorly underthrown ball by Patrick Mahomes there. They get lucky because no one was within 10 yards. So that goes Kansas City's way. The other play is the very next drive for San Francisco. With them, you know, an open wide receiver deep and Jimmy G overthrows them. Those are the two plays that really stick out to me. If they could both go San Francisco's way, I think they win the game.
So here's my point. I think he's right in the way he's explaining it. I think the conclusion is wrong. What was it about the 49ers that worried me? I had Kansas City as my best bet. I was wrong in a way, though. I'll admit, San Francisco's D was better than I thought. And we still won. That shows you what I thought was the case, which is if San Fran's D is truly world class, then this is an even game. And this was an even game.
Yep.
I doubted it was world class, but we still had a 50% chance of winning, it feels, even when it was 49ers showing themselves, I think, their defense to be super world class elite, whatever you want to call it. Okay. But we were concerned with Jimmy G. We painted the picture, Fez. Go ahead, paint it.
Yeah, bottom line, we said, hey, if it's the fourth quarter and this game is really,
close
really
your eyes
close,
and imagine.
20-17, 17, all that type of score. Who do you want? Do you want Mahomes or do you want Jimmy G?
And let's be honest. Let's make it even more specific. What I said was there's 3 minutes left. They got the ball in their own 25, 49ers. Jimmy G down four. You need a touchdown to win. How confident are you? Mm-hmm. Now flip it the other way. How confident are you?
Exactly right. And let's face it, Brad, you said Mahomes badly underthrew Tyreek Hill. I would say that's part of his improvisation. He saw how wide open he was, and he just said, you know what? Let's make sure he catches it. I'm not going to lead him. I'm going to go ahead and throw it a little bit behind him, make sure it's a completion.
The second thing about Kansas City that was superior to me was they are in a modern, we could say the first team ever to be quite like this, where they're throwing haymakers. You know, the analogy I've heard is the Golden State Warriors from 5 years ago. The NBA was a certain way, and then Golden State came along and they played differently, more modern, more pressure. Pressure as in, we're going to shoot threes, and when we're hot, you're done. And when we're not hot, hope we don't get hot before the game's over because we're going to come back. Isn't that what Kansas City is?
It's a great analogy. Think about it. All during the playoffs, Kansas City down 10 in each and every playoff game. You get up to use the bathroom. You come back 5 minutes later. Boom. They got the lead just like the Warriors when Steph starts raining threes down on you.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. Let's talk about those comebacks. We got some numbers here. These are impressive numbers. So, in three straight games, Kansas City was down double digits, and then they came back to win by double digits. Now, only 1.5%, so 1.5% of NFL games ever have that happen. Down doubles, win by double. In a season now, Kansas City has done that four times, three straight and then one prior. only two teams ever in the last 30 plus years. That's how far back our database goes. So 30 plus years. Only two teams other than Kansas City did it three times in a season. So literally, Kansas City is alone at four. Only two teams out of like 900 and some, if you think about 30 some years, 30 teams a year, ever even did it three times. They did it three times in a row. No team ever has even done it twice in a row.
Wow.
So think about that. Down 10, win by, down by double digits, win by double digits. Three times in a row, and no other team has done it more than once in a row. This is, and it's three games in the playoffs.
Against elite competition.
With the last one to win the Super Bowl. I mean, this is fundamental. You can make the case this Kansas City team is fundamentally changing the way football is being played. Last thing on these comebacks. Double digit down, double digit win. 1.5% chance each game. To do it three straight games is over 300,000 to 1. So if I would have came in and said, Jonas, I got a premonition. Kansas City is going to be down double digits and win by double digits in three straight games, including the Super Bowl. The odds of me being right there would have been over 300,000, like a third of a million to one. It's that unlikely what we've seen.
What do you think? Would I bet you on it?
No, I'm saying is the idea that what we've seen here is so unlikely.
Yeah, no, and the fact that they got down early and it was different types of trailing. Early on to Houston, it was sort of they hit you in the mouth. Tennessee was similar to that, but they were a team that ran the football, so you thought they could protect the lead a little bit more. And then this one was, I think, the most egregious because it was late in the fourth quarter. Mahomes was playing by far and away the worst playoff game of his career, and still, not only did they win, they won by double digits.
No doubt. And they covered every one of those games, obviously. So here's what we're going to do. Up next, we are going to go through play by play one of the worst beats ever. Some would say this was as bad as a beat as they've ever had. And unfortunately, we were right in the middle of it. But luckily, it was pretty much the only loss we had yesterday. We'll go over that, too.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, it wasn't a bad beat. It was a brutal beat. And we'll have the play-by-play coming up here shortly.
Ooh, tough one. But what a day. What a celebration. We killed it. Bookies down, down. Betters over bookies, baby. Great day to join us. We're on 5 days a week. FoxSportsRadio.com, hundreds of FSR stations across this great nation. Also, iHeartRadio app, SiriusXM, and anytime on podcast, just search RJ Bell. Right now on the Strip, 46 degrees, the neon is pumping.
So, RJ, one of the bets that you guys have been all over at the start of the Super Bowl preview was Patrick Mahomes and his over of rushing yards, which opened up at 28.5 for Super Bowl 54. But unfortunately, things took a little bit of a turn for people who didn't get in on it early enough late in that game yesterday.
Well, it was one of those, man, if you got the right number, you were lucky. And we'll talk about that. Now, let's agree to the following. I gave Brad Powers credit on this bet on Sunday's show. So now, luckily Brad's here, he gets either credit or blame. But I think blame is not the word. Let's just say that. Because this was atrocious. So let's set the scene. There's less than a minute left, right?
Yep.
San Fran had some timeouts. But the game was over. It was an 11-point game. Yeah. I get the whole call timeouts, but come on. I guess they could get more commercials in. I don't know. I mean, think about that, actually. Yeah. That'd be interesting. I wonder if the league tells them, call your timeouts no matter what at the end. Boy, I wonder. Would you? Would you bet yes or no? Like, does the league communicate to the coaches, if it's late and even you're out of it, call your timeouts? Because if it gets them a couple more commercials, that's millions and millions of dollars. Huh. Jonas, when you get those special emails that only true insider media people get, did you see anything about that?
I didn't see anything like it, but I hope that it's true because I love conspiracies. So that would be fun to talk about.
All right. So at this point, the number of rush yards, the over-under opened around 29 yards for Mahomes. Brad came in. He goes, over. Yeah. This one's easy. This one's like over before it starts kind of talk. Now, is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair.
Well, it might be a little exaggeration, yeah, but close. It got bet up. And every day he'd come in and say, yeah, that bet's up to 33 yards. 29, I gave it out at. And it was like, all right. Where did it close, Fez?
34.5.
And it was up to 35, right? So it got a little buyback? A
little late buyback on game day.
Okay. It was 44 yards,
yeah.
Jonas?
Yeah, it was 44 yards.
Mahomes has 44 yards rushing. The game's freaking over. But let's not forget, Jonas so presciently, almost like he had a crystal ball. You asked us a question on Sunday about this.
Yeah, I asked, would you guys feel bad if it had already hit the over of 28.5, which you guys had, and for people that couldn't get it in at that number, if Mahomes took a couple of knees and ended up losing, if he took a couple of knees for missing a couple of yards. So for those people, would you guys feel bad? And you even acknowledged yesterday that you would have felt bad because that would be a bad way to lose.
It's interesting. It goes, even you acknowledged, like even that. A sociopath like you acknowledged. But I'll be candid, Jonas. You ask some great questions, but sometimes you ask questions. You know how like your parents ask questions about technology, you know, or your aunt or your uncle, and it's like, so this DVR, where do they keep the tapes, you know? And you just kind of say, it's okay, I got it, right? So you asked about that, and I was trying to be polite, but I was thinking, what's he talking about? We're fine. And we were. Because when you're at 44 yards and the over-under is 28.5, 29, 30, 31, 32, you're fine, right? You ever see Tom Brady do the kneel?
Yep.
He snaps the ball, he kneels. So on first down, Jonas, what happened?
Well, so he's got 44 yards, Patrick Mahomes, for the game rushing. And on first down, under a minute to go, at their own 41-yard line, the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback decides to take a knee. But it's not a normal knee.
We're fine.
Yeah, not a normal knee, though. He took 5 yards back. So now we're down to 39 yards on the rushing.
5 yards back. How rare is that?
I never see it.
I see it in college. Brad, you see it in college, right? It's done in college sometimes.
Yeah, when they're trying to specifically run clock, Jonas, it might be the final kneel down and they're running around and they take a lot of yards, but you never see it on first down.
Never.
All right, so they made their point, I'm figuring, at this point. Let's go. So timeout, I don't understand why. Again, conspiracy theory would say league office. Who knows? I don't even know if we have tape at Shanahan calling the timeout. I don't know. Second down.
And so second down, Patrick Mahomes takes another knee, this time for -3 yards. So a little bit more reasonable compared to the 5 from the first knee he took.
All right, so I'm doing some back of the napkin math here. We're down to 36.
Yeah.
You're fine. I mean, even the 5 was crazy.
Yep.
Now, if you got in late, hey, tough freaking luck. You know why? Because you should listen every day. That's my theory. So third down.
Third down, he went for 5, then he went to 3. If you follow the trend, you assume, okay, well, we're going to knock off another 2 yards.
I'm thinking 4.
Yeah, or even 1. You know, they made their point, like you said. But instead, Patrick Mahomes decides, you know what, let me go ahead and milk as much clock as possible. And he takes a knee for -7 yards.
Now, quick math, we're down to 29.
Yes.
At this point, I'm scrambling to get the screenshot of my ticket. And this is time to give Steve Fezzik some credit. Because even if you were betting early, there were 29s out there. Brad, your second bite at the apple, you had 29.5.
I did, yeah.
Now, when did you bet that?
Right after, right when we gave it out.
So literally, you get off air.
Yep.
And you bet it over 29.5.
Yep.
But you had a little 28.5.
Yeah,
in your
first
pocket.
Bite was 28.5. Second bite, 29.5.
Fez, though, he has 29 outs.
Yeah.
So he got me a 28.5. So I'm like, whoo. Then it dawned on me, wait a minute. They're not punting.
I had 31.5. And so
your $33 is fine.
Yeah. So Mahomes is sitting. He's sitting at 29 yards now.
Right?
So he's just lost 15 yards of rushing on three kneel downs for -5, -3, and then an egregious -7. Kansas City calls the timeout with 5 seconds left. There's one more play to go. Maybe he'll run the ball, get out of bounds, or something like that. Instead, he takes a shotgun, throws the football as high as he can in the air, and the clock runs out, and he finishes with 29 rushing yards.
Now, listen, I'm very self-interested. I do feel it for the audience. This one's so brutal, and I tweeted this out with our ticket, some different faces to represent stress, at RJ in Vegas. I spent kind of a goofy amount of time on this. You might want to check it out. I feel bad. I mean, Brad, you're very self-involved.
Oh, yeah.
But you were feeling bad.
I was, yeah.
Explain your thinking.
Well, it's just, you know, only a very select few, the Steve Fezziks of the world, could get a number like this. A lot of people listening might have listened a little bit late. First off, shame on you for listening late. But I get it. You can't get the best of the number. You don't have 29 outs to get, you know, even if you got 29
to be
and
so
a half,
right.
Yeah, to be so right and to lose. And the thing of it is, even the kneel downs, a typical kneel down, you're going to lose maybe 2-3 yards at most.
Oh, you're fine.
Still fine, you would have been.
And Kansas City was down 10 points in the fourth quarter. It was unlikely they were even going to get the lead to have to take any kneel downs.
It's a hard way to make an easy living. Now, luckily, it was pretty much the only thing we lost. And I still won. Let's just start going through it. Kansas City, winner.
Yep.
Best bet. First score.
Field goal.
Field goal, +160. I'm just messing around, got a triple-double. No, messing around, plus money payout. And wasn't it exactly like I predicted it?
Exactly.
Explain.
You said, hey, conservative coaches, they don't like to go for it. They want to get on the scoreboard.
Not so conservative coaches. I'm saying any Super Bowl
any
coach.
Any Super Bowl coach. Right. That even an aggressive coach wants to set the tone and take the lead. So we see San Francisco. They're driving up. Look perfectly happy to get on the scoreboard. Robbie Gould, take the 3 points.
What was it? Fourth and what? Like two or something?
I think two, yes.
I think the regular season they go for it.
Yep.
Quite possible.
It's almost like I had a crystal ball. But that wasn't the end of it. Fez, Jimmy G under yards.
Under 239 for Jimmy G. He gets only 89 in the first half. Can't overcome it.
Now, you had an interesting one. Number of carries. I didn't even see how that went.
Yeah.
Number of players who would have a carry for the 49ers.
It's my only loss. Kansas City, under 4.5 guys to rush the ball. They had 5, RJ. 3 receivers all got 1 carry.
Including Travis Kelce, the tight end, who has 1 carry combined in the last 2 years. 1 carry. He gets a carry.
In the fourth quarter to put salt in the wound.
Yes, that hurt.
But net-net, you add up all the picks.
I show 13-3-1, and RJ, I give you kudos here. You were winning stuff before the game even started. You said national anthem, under, way under. Tails, the coin toss, winner.
Tails never fails, Jonas. How'd you feel when that happened?
Oh, I felt great. Now, would you like to hear my little roller coaster of bets here that I made?
As long as you tell us the exact amount of each bet.
Okay, I will. They were all for $10 each. All right, I will tell you that right off the bat, $10 each. I started out 3-0. I had tails, as you mentioned, because of the advantage of the weighted side of the coin and just sort
correct
of the how that would work. I also had Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the first touchdown pass of the game, so I called that.
Ooh.
And then I had the field goal being the first score of the game. So I took your advice on that.
So lunch is on you next time.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, though, I lost my next six, so I finished 3-6.
Now, we only lost three combined, yeah. So how is that exactly?
Sometimes you think you can swim before you actually can swim. You go on the deep end, and then you find out they've got to send a boat out to rescue you, and that's apparently what I needed. 3-6.
Jonas is a cautionary tale. I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. Here in Vegas, we got Steve Fezzik and Brad Powers. Fez actually showed off a little bit. He gave us the under in the first half, and it was so nice. I loved that bet. Loved it. Fez, you gave me an extra nickel just right before the game. I was very happy about that.
Yes, and when it was 10-10, 20 points, and you had the under 27, you're like, okay, worst-case push.
Exactly. It's almost like worst-case push in our bet about where the line would close, but for me, not you.
Oh, you took advantage of me.
What? How was that?
You know I was too proud. I was too much pride when you said, let's double it, Steve.
But the funny thing is I offered you to double it about 10 other times. You said no then.
Well, at some point when I start losing four figures, pride goes into the garbage can.
But then on Friday, he said, I'm going to flex a little bit. The mother effer will say, says, I'm going to over second half. I'm going to be like a hedge fund. Under first half, over second half. Winner. How'd that feel?
That felt real good. And we had second half to outscore first half, so we really doubled down on more scoring second half.
What else was there? It didn't feel like we missed anything, huh? Oh, the Purple Gatorade didn't happen.
Yeah, we lost the Purple Gatorade. The only other loser, we lost by one play. First quarter, Brad, you had San Francisco in the first quarter, and Kansas City scored a touchdown literally on the last play of the first quarter.
Yeah, I'm not going to associate with that bet. I had nothing to do with it. I had all Kansas City.
You had.
So let's be candid. Not many people followed that.
That's right. You had three straight scores. You talk about how good. Not only did one team score three straight times, both teams scored three straight times.
Jonas, it's a celebration.
It is for you guys.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. Fez and I disagree. Was Shanahan too conservative? Fez, in the way that he is, always thinking he's right, he's wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will continue to look back at a wild Super Bowl 54. Want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Jonas, have you seen The Irishman?
Yes.
You know how Pesci's getting envelopes the whole movie?
Yeah.
Today, Brad came in, slid me an envelope. Fez came in, slid me an envelope. Literally, the entire news, I was counting my hundreds because I saw there was like a 20 in there, and I don't like those. And I didn't get to the end before the news was over. And all right, let's be candid. Our news guys are loquacious. I mean, they're not succinct.
And how much more do you have to go?
I don't know, about an inch. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tweet out a picture of my envelope or of my fistful of dollars might be the way to say it.
I mean, you know.
I love it. I love it. There's something about just having like 5,000 or whatever in your hands and just pure cash. I'm just saying. I'm just going to be honest. Here's the question, Fez. You believe in your very myopic, very short-circuited, I want to win some money, I don't want to think about this too much, that Shanahan made a mistake when he didn't call the timeout. Make the case.
Yeah, so the reason I thought he should have called the timeout is that I'm an in-game
betting. Are you saying past tense? I've already convinced you otherwise.
I'm an in-game betting specialist, and I know when two teams are playing roughly a pick'em game and they're tied and one team's punting at the end of the first half, even from midfield like Kansas City was, the right, typically in an average game, call is to call the timeout. You're getting the ball. You have the advantage getting the ball back with a little less than 2 minutes to go. So I was like, you got to call timeout there. You got to try to score because that's what a typical team should do in that situation.
Okay, that's all interesting. Now I've told you what I think. You're qualified. You sound like a lawyer. You sound like a horrible strip mall lawyer saying typically,
I thought they should have called timeout.
Okay, so why are you backing? I mean, just could I tell you that you really, your name isn't Steve? And you'd be like, you know, I used to think my name was Steve. Stand up for
they
yourself.
They should have called timeout because.
Wrong. Here's why, and I want to get Jonas's opinion. You might say, and my first thought was, at least they should have called timeout. Then they could have ran out of the, you know, ran out the clock. But let's think about this. Kansas City had three timeouts themselves. So nice punt inside the five. Let's say not a sure thing, very possible. And now Jimmy G's got a throw from his own 5-yard line. And if they hold him to no first down, even if he get 9 yards, and even if they somehow keep the clock running the whole time, timeout, timeout, timeout. So there's going to be what, like a minute 50, 45 left, kicking from your own end zone, even if KC has no timeouts?
Advantage Kansas City, no doubt.
You think? And now you might say, yeah, but this is the NFL. Jimmy G's supposed to be good. He should be able to throw. But here's the thing. San Fran seemed to have a lot of confidence in their game plan. And I think it bore itself out. You look at the third quarter. You look at the first half of the fourth quarter. They dominated. San Fran did. So if you somehow give up an interception, and let's say Kansas City only gets 3 points, you're thinking, hey, that's the risk, right? But what does it do to Jimmy G's confidence? And to me, that's the under-discussed part of this game. Not only was Jimmy G's performance short of elite late, you could make the case that in the first 3 quarters of the game, first 7/8 of the game, he played pretty well.
Yep.
But when the chips were down, he didn't. That last drive is the Joe Montana drive. It's the John Candy in the stadium drive. Same stadium, actually.
Good point.
Right? And that's why Montana's discussed as one of the best ever. And I don't think Jimmy G will be. And that's an easy bet, right? Because very few are. I think Jimmy G is going to be the 15th, 16th. He's going to be an Andy Dalton, in my opinion. And I actually like Andy Dalton. I think having the 15th best quarterback is not the end of the world. You don't want them playing against Mahomes, right, with the Super Bowl on the line. And the under-discussed part of this is how Shanahan's decision-making is seemingly so affected by a lack of confidence in Jimmy G. From the decision at the half, which I actually agree with, from prior games where they're not doing, they're playing like they have a backup quarterback. The 49ers play like they have a backup quarterback.
Game manager.
Yeah, maybe worse than that. Alex Smith never was handcuffed the way it feels like Jimmy G is, right?
Agreed. Certainly in the playoff games.
So to me, yeah, if you're in a shoot, and you're right, he's had some good performances. But Shanahan knows Jimmy G best. And Shanahan does not trust Jimmy G. Is there anyone that can doubt that? So Colin can come on, and I love Colin, and talk about where that Jimmy G played better in this Super Bowl than Brady did in his first, and all kind of hogwash like that. Yeah, but what happened late? Madden was saying, oh, I think they should be conservative here, be happy to go to overtime. Well, there was no overtime.
Yep.
Right? Because Brady stepped up. Jimmy G didn't. We can say that's short-sighted, small sample size. It's how history's made. It's how history is made. And Jimmy G shrieked from history. And Mahomes obviously doesn't, and Brady didn't. And we can say it's the performance on the field. I think the real negative of that for the 49ers isn't just Jimmy G's performance on the field. It's Shanahan feeling shackled by having effectively a backup quarterback. That was kind of hot takey.
Yeah, it was.
I liked it. When we come back, what are we going to do? We don't actually, this is the rare day we don't have any free picks. What do you think we should cover?
Well, we're talking about this year's Super Bowl. How about next year's?
This is a great tease. This is great. It's not too soon. Who's next year's favorite to win the Super Bowl? And you're going to be shocked at the fourth favorite. You won't believe who's the fourth favorite.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. RJ, Super Bowl 54 is in the books, but it is never too early to look ahead at the odds for next year's Super Bowl champion.
Is it wrong to look at 20s and feel like contempt for them? Because they spend. I don't know. Just thinking out loud. All right. You might think it's too early for this. We don't care. This is great. And it tells you, because it's not always like the champion that's going to be favored. Sometimes it's like, hey, this guy's retiring, or we think this team's trending down. So right now, Brad Powers, you got the numbers. The 2020 champion title odds, the favorite.
The favorite is the Super Bowl champ, the defending Super Bowl champ, Kansas City Chiefs, plus 650.
So 6.5 to 1, 100 wins you, 650. Yep. It goes to show you, no matter what in the NFL, you can be the best quarterback of all time. And I would make the case, and Jonas was trying to buck me in Miami, and he wasn't able to buck me in Miami. I asked you, is Mahomes the way he's playing right now the greatest quarterback that ever walked the earth? And it's really hard to say he's not, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that now after a Super Bowl and what we've seen in the playoffs, you could make that argument.
And again, I asked you, this is the same thing. It's almost like amnesia. He gave the same noncommittal answer. And then I said, well, tell me who it is then. He's like, you know, you're probably right. Right?
I would still say Brady is better
than
Patrick
Mahomes.
Brady,
at what point was playing this well? I'm not saying accumulated accomplishment, right? I'm talking about if he had a Tecmo or a Madden number, Mahomes' Madden number is better than any quarterback ever.
Yeah, maybe that 07 season.
Yeah, but that was more about the supporting cast.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Randy
Moss played great, but in theory, he should have been almost as good the year before. You know, listen, I think Brady's the GOAT, but that's about accomplishment. I'm talking about who's playing the best today.
I don't think you can argue it right now.
Or not just today, but at any given point in history. And still 6.5 to 1, meaning it's not even money. It's not 2 to 1. Fez, what was that Rams bet that you thought was so juicy?
4 to 1.
You were so happy about that.
For about 2 months, until Gurley stopped showing up.
You should have maybe the minute I bet you started wondering.
Yeah.
Second favorite.
Baltimore Ravens, 8 to 1, RJ.
Boy, Lamar Jackson, what a story that's going to be. The MVP... And now it's like the playoff dud. Third favorite.
49ers, 9 to 1.
I think Jimmy G is the only question.
Yep.
Let's give the Niners credit. Great team. They don't have a great quarterback. Number four.
New England Patriots, 12 to 1.
This is the first time the Pats haven't been one of the top couple favorites in like 20 or like 18 years. I'll do some research on it. It's unbelievable. Then it's Saints.
Yep.
Cowboys. Steelers, Vikings. Yeah, Cousins going to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, right.
If you had to make a bet right now, Jonas, if I gave you a free 100 out of my big pal, I'm not going to. What would you bet?
I would bet Kansas City again.
6.5 to 1 is juicy.
I would,
man.
Too.
I don't think that's going to last. I think that's going to drop.
Remember, guys, I have it on I'm putting it on Twitter right after the show. My Monday shipment, we'll call it. And it was a celebration. Tomorrow, all the fun's over. Well, we'll have fun. The focus is going to be college basketball, NBA, and starting to win there and starting to know more than our buddies there.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart Radio app.
Straight out of Vegas!